The scripture reading before the lesson this morning will be coming from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. And it reads, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Appreciate Brother Lane as he was reading the scriptures for us. Good to see everyone here on this morning. Last week we talked about having the mind of Christ, and we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And as we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we was considering having the mind of Christ, verse number 16, in that context. And in that context, we see that having the mind of Christ is supposed to be had even in the midst of human wisdom. Because of human wisdom, man tends to think that he has the monopoly on understanding and language. However, we're supposed to go to the Word of God if we're going to learn from God, not from man. This week, we're going to be talking about having the mind of Christ according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And before we get into the book of Philippians, I wanted to start off this particular way. When you consider 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, Paul would say, "Follow me even as I follow Christ." The word "follow" there means to mimic, to imitate. We ought to be imitating Christ. Also, when he selected the disciples that God had given him, he said to his disciples, "Follow me." That's a different word. That word literally means come. So when you put those two ideas together, come and follow me, or come and imitate me, or come and do what I do. And so when we think about following Christ, we think about having the mind of Christ. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 10, verses 44 and 45. When we think about Jesus Christ and having the mind of Christ, what does that mean? Well, in the book of Philippians, especially chapter 2, we're going to be looking at this from the vantage point of service. But in Mark chapter 10, verse 44 and 45, here the Bible says, "And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." Now watch this. "But to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." I wanted that to be the backdrop of what we're going to be talking about on this morning. And the reason why, because if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we have to do what he did. We have to be willing to serve. We have to be willing to, if I can put it this way, gird up our towels and serve not only one another, but our God. When I thought about Jesus Christ, when he came, his service was to his Father first, and then to man second. And that is supposed to be what we're supposed to be doing as well, as it relates to how we're supposed to be serving mankind. If we seek to be like Jesus on a daily basis, Luke 9 and verse number 23, it's going to require us having the attitude of service. If we're going to be a people who are striving to be sincere in denying ourselves, is going to require us having a mindset of service. But also, when we stop and we consider serving our God and serving our fellow man, it's going to require us having a servant's mentality. Well, living in the Western world, especially America, it's kind of difficult to maintain that service mentality because we live in a serve me mentality, and rightfully so. Why? If you're serving, if you're running a business, really what you're doing is you're serving your customers. We understand that. However, when we think about Christianity and we think about following Christ, we're serving God, we're serving man, and if you stop and consider it, we are benefiting from it as well. Turn to the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, we need to have the mentality as we experience having the beautiful mind of Christ, the same mind that Jesus had. When I was thinking about this particular text last week, I thought about I need to preach on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. And I'm going to put it all in one lesson, and I'm going to get it all in there, Brother Royce. And I said to myself, Mike, don't do that. And I'm glad that I didn't. And the reason why is because when I was studying, I found that in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 16, and you look at that phrase, we have the mind of Christ, it's different than Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, of having the mind of Christ, and different in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 1, for we have the same mind of Christ. Three different Greek words. And so I'm glad that I didn't do that, which tells me that as a Bible student, we need to slow down and look at the Word of God more precisely. We need to be combing the scriptures, if you will, looking not only at the context, but looking at the Word. Looking at the word in the Hebrew, in the Greek, and looking at it in its context and seeing what does this word mean and how does it apply to the ones in whom it's talking to. And then we can begin to make application. Well, when I think about the book of Philippians, it's a powerful book, a great book. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite books. And the reason why, because some 16 times you find the word joy or rejoice or joyous. How do you read the book of Philippians and not come away with joy? As a matter of fact, on my lowest days, I like to pick up the book of Philippians and just read it. And the reason why? Because it's so joyous. It does instill joy within the heart. Some 9 times you'll find the phrase in the Lord. Now that's interesting. And the Bible teaches us to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. So in chapter 1, we find Paul as he is talking to the brethren there. And keep in mind, this particular congregation started in Acts chapter 16. And he started this congregation as he was preaching to Lydia and the Philippian jailer. And you go back and read that particular chapter in Acts, and you'll see how this congregation began. And so he's writing back to them. And this particular people really loved the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul would use the church at Macedonia, the church at Philippi, same people, as an object lesson, because the church at Corinth did not want to supply the needs of the Apostle Paul. But he said that the Corinthians did. And every time the Philippians heard that Paul had a need, they sent it. A great love for them. And they had a great love for him. They made him joyous. And he made them joyous as well. If you look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, we see something very interesting as it relates to what I believe the theme of Philippians chapter 1. Here we see in Philippians 1 and verse number 27, notice what the Bible here says. Only let your conversation or your manner of life, your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, meaning one attitude, with one mind, with one mindset, striving together. That phrase striving together literally means you're wrestling together against the enemy. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Friends, when I think about the church at Philippi, that's exactly what they were doing. They were wrestling with one another, wrestling together, if you will, for the faith of the gospel. And no wonder the Apostle Paul would say some things in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, the first 2 verses, we see that he's pleading with them. Look at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, If there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affections and mercy, notice what he tells them to do. Fulfill my joy. This is a joyous book. And Paul is saying, I want you to fulfill my joy. How? Four things. Notice the four things he wanted his joy to be fulfilled in. By being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and Brother Brian, one mind. You see those four things right there? When you're studying the book, when you're studying scripture, look for those things. Look for those particular things that's going to help you. And it's right there in the text. You don't even have to make anything up. It's right there in the text. He says, this is going to fulfill my joy. And as members of the Lord's church, that should fulfill our joy. That we are of the same mind, the same love, the same devotion. Looking at the same book, the same Bible, applying it to our lives. But then look at verse number 3. Just the first part of verse number 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Stop. The word selfish ambition, the King James uses the word strife. The word there in the Greek literally means to be a politician. To actually bring people to your side. Paul says, I need you to do something for me. I need you to not oppose Christianity by bringing people to your side, causing factions. That's interesting. And self-conceit or being conceited. Paul says, these things here are going to actually break you up. Don't do that. No wonder he says in Philippians 1 and 27 that you're striving together. No wonder he says these four things that's going to bring me great joy. Same mind, same love, one accord, one mind. As the people of God, we ought to be striving to be one. That's one thing I appreciate about being here. There is a striving to be one. And even if there are things that needs to be discussed, the right attitude is employed and we're still striving to be one. Amen. That ought to work in the home, too. Sister Bonner and I don't always agree. As a matter of fact, you know, she knows how to argue pretty well, so I got to really know how to argue. But you got to reason it out. You got to talk it through. And here Paul says, this actually brings me joy. But these things here, these two things, no. That's opposite of Christianity. But then take notice of what he says in the second part of verse number 3. He says, but in lowliness of mind, in humility of mind, let each esteem others better than self. Our dear brother Raymond was praying. And after he prayed, I leaned over to Evelyn. I said, that's a beautiful prayer. We ought to be praying to the Father that we're one. Praying to the Father that we're of the same mind, that we're esteeming others better than ourselves. Remember what I said about Jesus, how he first served God and then he served mankind and he also benefited? It's the same with us. That in our service to God, we serve one another and then we benefit. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Look at verse number 4. He says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest. Well, you don't really have to tell Americans to do that. As a matter of fact, we're pretty professional in that area. We champion. We get the gold there. But what about serving the interests of others? Friends, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? What it means to have the mind of Christ is not to subject yourself to human reasoning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What it means to have the mind of Christ is all of the things we just discussed in Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. If you notice what God says through Paul, he says, take care of yourself, Brother Brian, but also take care of others. Well, that should remind you of the golden rule. Treat others as you would have yourself to be treated. That also should remind you of what Matthew 22, 37 through verse 39 says. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Serving God, serving man, you benefit. Notice those three things. Now, Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What mindset? Remember, that's a different word than what we see in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. This particular mindset is the mindset of humility. It's right in the context of humbling yourself, doing God's will, serving humanity, you benefit. But look at verse 6. Because when we think about verses 5 through 11 and this mindset to encourage us to be just like our Savior, I need us to remember some things. I need us to remember, first of all, how we started this lesson. Brother Corlin, follow Christ. We're following Jesus. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm serving God. I'm serving man. I benefit. Serving God, serving man, I benefit. In that order. One thing about God, he is no respecter of persons. One thing about God, he always takes care of his servant. One thing about God, he always exalts the humble. So we need to remember that we're following Christ. We also need to remember that Jesus Christ is our spiritual and moral leader. He's our spiritual and moral leader. When I think about that, I think about how are we to walk according to the Spirit's teaching. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 19, 16, 22 and 23. But also, Jesus is the way to the Father. And so when we stop and we consider these things, that ought to give us great comfort. Now, notice verses 6 through 8, the real view of service, the real view of service right here. And the more I thought about this week and talked to a few people about it, I couldn't wait till the day I had to talk about it. I talked about it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and yesterday. I couldn't wait, Brother Brian. I had to keep talking about it. Why? Because it just got gooder and gooder as I thought about it. Look at verse 6. Remember, having the mind of Christ in the context of humility, service. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The word being there in the original language, Jesus originally being in the form of God. That makes sense when you think about John 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you drop down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory. What glory? The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You drop down to verse 18, and Jesus came to declare the Father. Hold on, Jesus in eternity was the Word, and the Word became flesh. It's interesting that even in eternity, as the Godhead is having this great meeting in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, how Jesus was going to be that lamb slain before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter 1 and verse number 20. Even in eternity, you have the Word saying, I'll serve. And he hadn't even put on flesh yet. Wow. You see why I couldn't wait? And I thought about it, well, how do I apply that? As a child of God, I need to have the mentality that I'm going to serve God even though I haven't found no one to serve down here yet. I'm a servant. Having the mind of Christ means that I'm going to serve my God. I already have my mind made up to serve God. Now, I'm just wanting to seize the opportunity when it comes. Put your seatbelt on. Because the more I thought about this, I thought about verse 7. Notice what he says, taking the form of a servant. If you notice in that particular verse, the word taking literally means that he seized the opportunity. Hold on, Jesus. The Word becoming flesh. Here you're serving your Father. You're also serving man. Here he became a servant and then he became a human. For what reason? To do what God said and to take care of mankind. But then he says, I'm seizing the opportunity. What opportunity did he seize? He seized the opportunity, watch it now, to be a bondservant. Hold on. How many people are really looking for opportunities to get down on their knees and actually do service? Jesus, in John chapter 13, the first 13 verses, Jesus girds himself with a towel, has a basin of water, and he puts that towel inside of that water, and he begins to do what? Wash his disciples' feet. You remember that? Here we find the creator of the universe, and he is serving his creation. What are we to do? They're not the creator of the universe, but we are the creation. And if the creator can serve the creation, that means that the creation can serve the creation. Amen. Question. Are we following Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? I mean, it's nothing to serve yourself. It's nothing to be self-serving. It's nothing to always want to be served. But when do we stop and say, you know what, I want to serve God. And in serving God, that's going to point me to serving man. And in serving man, I'm going to feel good about myself because I'm doing the will of God and I'm helping mankind. And so one old brother said, when I first obeyed the gospel, he would come and pick me up, teach me ministry. And he said, Brother Mike, I remember we were driving in the car, old man, Abraham Davis. Abraham Davis said, Brother Mike, when you're feeling bad about yourself, being down on yourself, don't feel too good about yourself, go find somebody to serve. And that'll take your mind off of you. Amen. That was good advice. That was 28 years ago when I obeyed the gospel. I still remember it as it was even to this day. Friends, that ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us what we just saw in Mark chapter 10, 44 and 45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I think about this in the context of humility, of lowering himself. Can you imagine lowering yourself to serve? Yes, you ought to be able to imagine that. When you obeyed the gospel, you said, I want to follow Jesus. That's what you said. Amen. Well, how do you follow him and not be a servant? You can't. There's no way. Why? Because the Word had his mind made up before he even put on flesh. I'm going to be a bondservant. And so now God sends him. I need you, Brother Brian, to get John chapter 10 and verse number 36. We always go to verse 35, at least I do, as relates to the scriptures cannot be broken. However, in John chapter 10 and verse number 36, God did something amazing with the word. In John 10 and verse number 36, what does the Bible say?
Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God.
You know what God did? He sanctified. He set Jesus apart. In glory, in eternity, in heaven. And then after he set him apart, then he sent him here. Hold on. You know, God can't send you nowhere until he sanctifies you. See, God can't send you to preach unless you are a child of God. See, God doesn't send those in the denominational world to go preach. Why? You got to sanctify them. Well, how are we sanctified? John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How do you sanctify? He sanctifies through the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18. And when he sanctifies, he puts them in a location. What is that location? It's the church. And then he sends them out. No wonder he tells his disciples in Matthew 28, verse number 18 through 20. I'm almost done. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And watch this. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now think about this. Here, God sanctifies the word. After he sanctifies the word, he sends him in the flesh. When he sends him in the flesh, Jesus does something amazing while on earth. Jesus, what did you do? I sought opportunities to do good. Look at Acts 10. And look at verse number 38. And notice what your Bible here says. In Acts 10 and verse number 38, notice what the Bible here says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. God sanctified him. God sent him. Jesus, while on earth, saw opportunities to do good. He did that good. And after he did that, God did something amazing. Go back to Philippians 2. Wow. Now, we're going to make some application here in a few minutes. But again, a good teacher, a good preacher, got to tell you what the text is first and what it meant to them. And then you can make application. Because if you see what Paul is saying here, I need you to have the mind of Christ. And then he gives the person in whom you're supposed to be following and look at his mindset. But it's interesting, because when I look at Paul in verses 17 and 18 of Philippians chapter 2, I'm going back here in a few minutes, but in verse 17 and 18, Paul, he sacrificed himself. As a matter of fact, he didn't mind making himself a sacrifice and an offering for his brethren. He wanted what was best for his brethren. But then in verses 19 through verse number 25, we see something very powerful as well. 19 through 24, we see Timothy. And Paul said, I have not found anyone like-minded like Timothy. He's a servant. And then in verses 25 through the end of the chapter, verse number 30, we come across a man by the name of Epaphroditus. And how he was near death because of his sickness, Brother Brian, because he was serving the church. Do you know anyone that serves the church so much that they almost put themselves into sickness? Epaphroditus was. Oh, brother Royce, you're doing too much. Slow down. Brother Mike, you're doing too much. Slow down. Epaphroditus was working so hard, the man was almost near to death working for the Lord. Now, we'll work that hard for some money. But I don't know about for the Lord. I ain't talking about none of y'all. I'm talking about your cousins somewhere else. But it's true. We'll work ourselves to death for what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25, that which is imperishable. But if anything, I ought to work myself to death to that. Did I say imperishable? To that which is perishable. But we ought to work ourselves to death to that, for that which is imperishable. That's what we ought to be working ourselves to death to. So what? My body's failing because I'm working hard for the Lord. I'm going to receive a new body one day. And John said in 1 John 3, the first three verses, we don't know what we're going to be as, but we're going to be as he is. And everyone that has this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. Go back to Philippians 2. Look at something, brethren. Look at verse number 8. Powerful, powerful. What is your mindset? Do you have the mind of Christ, the beautiful mind of Christ, in the context of humility and service? Look at what he says in verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Notice Jesus' humility. Notice his mindset. Notice how far Jesus was willing to go. Remember, he made up his mind as the word to be a servant. And then that servant became flesh. And then that man in the flesh worked. And then that man that was in the flesh that worked ended up on the cross. Now notice what he goes on to say. Therefore, God, verse number 9, also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Notice the prepositions, those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Y'all see those prepositions? We're going to school. You know, the New Testament church was actually the organism that was responsible for educating. We got too many preachers who are not educating. Well, they're educating, they're just not educating properly. Here, everything and everybody in heaven, on earth, under the earth, recognizes this man, Christ Jesus. Why, Brother Royce? Because of his service, because of his humility. And so that made me think about something. Hold on. Here is the Word who was in the eternal realm, willing to give that up for a while in order to be a servant and man, to come into the world of time, to operate in time, and to show us how to live in time. And then God did something. God highly exalted him and given him the name that, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here it is, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, he served God. He served man. Hold on. He benefited. How did he benefit? He's sitting right now at the right hand of the throne of God. When you ever, if ever you think that your service to God and mankind is null and void, just read this. We win. That means that it's always right to do right. That means that it's never right to do wrong. That means that you'll never go wrong serving. You'll never go wrong humbling yourself. You'll never go wrong having the mind of Christ. And so we get this attitude, at least I do sometimes, done serving. Done with this joker. I'm done with, tired of these people. Y'all think like that too. Because sometimes folk wear you out. But you got to look at the prize. What's the prize? See, the prize, yeah, Jesus being exalted, given a name, yeah, that's some of it. But I don't think that's the ultimate prize. The ultimate prize is in verse number 11. It's the glory of the Father. That's the prize right there, brethren. God is glorified. That's the prize. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the city that's set up on a hill. Men shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So it really doesn't matter about us, but it does matter about us. So God, Jesus did all of that. Jesus, why did you do that? I want to glorify him. So as I close, look at John 17. I tell you what, when Brian Braswell is smiling on the front seat, I just get all giddy. Because that man, he loved the Bible. In John 17, let me stop, man. I'll tell you. Service, having the mind of Christ. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son as your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. Jesus, what is eternal life? That they may know you, the one, only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Question. Will you allow God to send you? But you got to go in humility. You have to go understanding that the Father, he is the one that we're submitting to, and he has left the Christ whom he has sent. And no wonder we bow down at the feet of Jesus. He is our King. He's our Lord. He's our Master. And so when I do what Jesus says, that's me. That's when I'm following Jesus. So how do I follow Jesus if I don't want to serve? I got to serve. Question. Are you serving? When you leave here on Sunday, are you serving Monday through Saturday? Are you serving God? Are you serving the Master? Or are you waiting to be served? No. Jesus, he showed us how to serve. And God, he showed us that I exalt the servant. It's always right to serve God. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father, hallowed be your high and your holy name. We thank you for the book of Philippians. We thank you for having the mind of Christ. And we thank you for allowing us to be your servants. We pray to Father that we will strive for the faith of the gospel, and that we'll all be of one accord, one mind, one spirit. We pray to Father that we'll continue to strive to be more and more like your Son. Help us to follow him. Help us to strive to be more like him. And Father, we know that if we band together and wrestle with one another together, we'll help one another in the gospel. We pray to Father for every family. We pray for every member. And we pray for those who may not be members of your Son's church. We pray to Father that they will strive to have a desire to be sanctified, that they may be sent. We love you, Father, and we ask that you forgive us for our sin. Forgive us when we don't want to serve. Forgive us for our laziness. We ask the Father that you encourage us when we're doing that which is right, that you build us up in the most holy faith, and that the Word of God will have the final say in our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Friends, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must obey the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the story of Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross, being raised from the dead, appearing to mankind. But that's just not it. That's 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. According to Mark 1:14-15, the gospel is concerning the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, according to Matthew 16:18-19, is the church of our Lord, the church of Christ. And so Philip got it right, Brother Royce, in Acts 8 and verse number 12, when he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. It's not just the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. It includes the kingdom. You got to know about the church, the called out, the called out of sin ones. But we haven't been called out of sin. You won't be called out of sin. You won't be called out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his Son. Just to sit. You're called out to serve. And you got to serve with your mind that you're going to serve God. You got to serve with your mind and your body that you're going to serve mankind. And then you wait for your reward. And I know this is coming. For the Lord says that his reward is with me. He's bringing it. So believe that. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, be buried in water, live faithful. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll forgive you for everything you've done wrong, all your sin, and add you to his Son's church. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been serving because you lost focus on what the prize is. Revelation 22 and verse number 4, here's the prize. We actually get to see the face of God. Something that no one has ever seen. We actually get to see who he is as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.